Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I hope you guys are enjoying this ADHD series as much as I am. I know certainly a lot of you are because the feedback has been just so heartwarming. So thank you to all of you who have reached out and told me how much you're getting out of this series. Today I have one of my good friends with me, Sylvia Campbell, and she is going to be sharing from a whole lot of different perspectives of hers around ADHD. Welcome, Sylvia.
Hello.
You have been a guest on the podcast before, so I'm going to link to that episode in the show notes. Do you remember what it was called?
Something about recycling.
Was it recycling holding zone?
Maybe.
I think it might have been.
If you're relying on my memory, like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes.
Good. Good plan.
So, Sylvia, can you introduce yourself to our community? Just kind of give me the, you're walking into a room of people and you need to stand up and introduce yourself by line.
Okay, hi, I'm Sylvia. I am a chemical engineer and I work in the water industry. My current role is as a process improvement lead. And what else can I tell you? I also have an arts degree. So there's the flighty, like focusing on different things. What else can I say? I've got a wonderful husband and two beautiful children who are 8 and 6. I live in Flemington in Melbourne. That's probably a good start.
It's a very good start. I didn't know you had an arts degree.
I do.
Did you major in anything?
I did. I have to tell you now. I majored in classics, like Latin. Oh. And ancient Greek, and I also did a minor in history and philosophy of science.
Wowzers. I didn't finish my arts degree. I did a double commerce arts and didn't finish either, but I did philosophy and it was just like pulling teeth out because conceptualizing just random thoughts and trying to remember them was so hard for me.
Yeah, I was going to do a philosophy major and I did like one subject and went, nah. Yeah. And I switched to history and philosophy of science, which was way better.
Yeah, give me something a little more concrete.
Absolutely.
I really love your role at the moment at work. Actually, hold that thought because okay. I want to ask you the first question. I'll hold the thought. You don't have to. I want to ask you the first question, which is, do you have ADHD? Do you work with ADHDers, live with ADHDers, or all of the above?
All of the above. I live for myself, yes. I think there's like 1 in 20 people in Australia diagnosed and I think the expected figure is like 1 in 10. So I kind of feel like just about everyone should be able to answer like yes to at least one of those,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. But, yes, I answer yes to all of those and it's quite awful. Funny. There's like memes about, you know, when you get your ADHD diagnosis and then you turn around and everyone in your circle of friends has an ADHD diagnosis and you're like, oh, that's a bit weird. It's like, no, we like flock together.
Yes, because I spoke to someone the other day who said they've never met an adult with ADHD. And I was like, I feel like I've met adults without ADHD. But it's, you know, different who you attract.
Well, but I think it's also what you're saying is you've never met an adult who has been diagnosed as having ADHD or who has told you.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Yeah. So I do want to go back to that work thing. So I think the process improvement and looking for ways to improve things is definitely one of your strengths. And I know certainly that I've drawn on that in different areas of life and work and kind of come to you for help in those things. How does that interact with your ADHD?
Well, I think I am good at that because I have ADHD, because it's like you're kind of behind the starting line or something when you start. And so you're constantly trying to like, all right, I'm only doing it this way and I'm going really slowly. Oh, but what if I do it that way and then I'll go a bit faster? Or like constantly reaching and trying to find better ways of doing things. Mm. I heard someone saying once, like, ADHD is like if you had two people and tell them to peel an apple and the neurodivergent person has like a toothpick and the neurotypical person has like a peeler. And like the ADHD person will peel that apple with a toothpick, but they'll put a lot more effort in.
Yeah.
And it'll take a lot longer.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Or they'll throw the apple to the neurotypical and go, can you peel my apple for me?
You got to peel it. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like I've probably honed those skills over my life because I'm constantly trying to make things better in terms of the way I do things.
One of the areas that I want us to focus on in our episode, because I think it's your particular strength, is efficiency and process and thinking about things in a creative way and understanding that the one percenters matter and understanding that kind of cost of doing things and weighing up the cost benefit analysis type stuff. Like, I think you're quite analytical, but really creative. And I think that the tips that you've got and the way that your brain works in your home, to talk specifically on a lot of the decluttering and organizing strategies that you've tried over the years, there'll be something for everyone.
I would like to think so. It's like the greatest irony if people like who saw me as a child could see me now as like giving out tips on decluttering and organizing. Such a messy, disorganized child.
But your brain really works in that way. So what do you think has changed? Like, is it just that you kind of realize that there were tools that you didn't have to do it the way that a sibling did it or that your parents did it or that friends did it? Like, what was the key to unlocking the I can do this?
I think you coming to my house and teaching me how to do stuff. Part one. I don't think I had the skills. I looked, you know, like you'd get the instruction from parents, like, you know, go tidy your room. Like, okay, I've tidied my room. All of my books are organized. They are organized on the floor.
Yeah.
All of my worksheets, like everything is organized on my desk. They're in a big pile. I know where everything is. If you ask me to get something, I can get it. But it's not organized in the way that other people expect it to be organized.
Mm.
And I remember thinking as a child, like I'd look at, you know, you go to friends' houses and you look at their bedrooms and going, how do they do this? Like how do they not use anything, or do they use it and put it back, or do they stay up really late cleaning their room? Like, how does this work? And I just could never understand it. And interestingly, like, I remember the first time you came and did a session at my house and I was like, you know, in a million years, I never would have thought of the things that she did to organizing it. And it really worked for me, but it would never have occurred to me to do this. And I think it was really, for me, it's like exposure. So we have a joke in our house that, like, I'm a learning robot. Like, once I see it, I can replicate it. So, yeah, just absorbing. And I think also, like, now with the internet, you can look up a million decluttering blogs and you can get so many tips and you can see so many different examples of the way things are done. Whereas, like, when you're a child, it's like, well, like pre-internet, it's like, well, I know what my house looks like and I know what maybe some other people's houses look like and that's it.
Yeah.
So I just didn't have the examples of seeing different ways of organizing that would work for a visual person like me. And I definitely remember having conversations of like, oh, well, you just put the books on your desk, like, and you have all the spines and then you read the spines and that's how you know what you need. And I was like, well, no, I need to see the front cover.
Yes, because so you're a visual person.
Yeah. So I would have piles on the floor. There's like the physics pile and the chemistry pile and the history pile or whatever it was. And I knew where everything was and I like, okay, I'm doing chemistry now, grab, like I was all organized, but it was all on the floor. And probably I'd talk to you then, you would have been like, oh, well, we just need to like organize them so you can see all the, you know, see the covers of them.
Yeah.
On your desk or on a shelf or like some other way. But that was kind of all I could work out at that time. But yeah, so I guess it's just that looking and finding. And now I have more, I guess I have more language too, to go, I need a home or I need to classify or I need to, and I can work out what the problem is that I'm trying to solve a lot more.
Yeah, actually, let's talk more about that, because I think what you described when you were a kid and you went into someone else's room, I think was really insightful. And I think what a lot of people feel in their own spaces when they're like, someone, I know this is messy, or I know this is untidy, or I know this is cluttered, I know it's not working, I know it's stressful, it's overwhelming, I know how it feels, I know what the problem looks to be, but I don't actually understand what about it is like not working. I don't know how to walk my way into a solution.
Yeah, and I think so this is a lot of what we do in a workplace. People will come to you and say, I need this, can you make this for me? And the first step is always like, well, why do you want that? What's the problem that you're trying to solve? Mm. And going like, right, so instead of solutions, thinking of like, I need to buy a container that goes here. What's the actual problem? And often the most obvious thing is like the surface clutter, like the kitchen bench is really cluttered. It's like, well, what's on the kitchen bench and why is it there and not somewhere else? Like it doesn't have a home, or like, for instance, the moment the top of my washing machine gets really cluttered, I should just keep decluttering that. But actually it's because the laundry cupboard above the trough needs to be decluttered. And once I've decluttered that, then there won't be so much stuff that just hangs out on the washing machine. And then I'll be able to put the baskets there.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the problem is like, oh, put those baskets away that keep floating around. And if I keep going, oh, you know, thinking about the baskets, I'm never actually going to declutter that cupboard. That is the reason the baskets are floating around.
Does that make sense? Oh,
so yeah, always thinking about like, what is the problem? When does it happen? Where does it happen? And like really digging into why is it happening, is kind of the way I approach those sorts of things.
And I think what you then have is a solution that solves the problem rather than defers the problem. Because if you, the solution for you was, well, there's stuff on top of the washing machine, so I'm going to get a tub to put them in. So it's like with like, or it's containerized. It's got limits. You did that, but you're still
theoretically,
not,
yeah, you might
still
do
not
that.
Solving the problem
or
of the washing
basket. Just have a giant pile of things on there.
Yeah. But even if you did, that doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah. But also, like, I'm not going to beat myself up about things on the washing machine because I know I need to focus on the cupboard.
Yeah.
And when I have the time and energy to deal with it, then I will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can sort of relax about, okay, I know that that problem will go once I've dealt with the root cause. I'm very good at working out what the root cause is. I'm not actually good at doing it and fixing it and like actually doing the decluttering, but I'm very good at working out what the problem is.
But once you've worked out what the problem is, you don't necessarily have to be the solution then, because you can find the solution is, okay, well, that's now I know what the problem is. I've identified what it will take to do that. So next time I've got a friend over, I'm like, I'm going to make you a cup of tea and give you an Easter egg. But while we talk, I need a body double to do that. Or hubby, kids, mum, whoever. Next time you ask me if I need any help, that's what I need help with. Like you actually then have a really defined problem.
Yeah. And, you know, I suppose I should say at this point, because people won't know, like I have a lot of physical mobility issues. I've got a shoulder injury at the moment with my left hand and I am left-handed. So I can't reach things above my head. I also have a knee injury. I live in a house with stairs, so going up and down stairs costs a lot of spoons. So I'm like, I'm just going to put a pile on the stairs and then take them all up at once rather than taking each thing up, because there's too many times going up 100%. And down the stairs. So it's also like, all right, I know exactly what the problem is. So next time, you know, my husband's home, I need you to get that thing down, or I need you to put this thing up there so that I can go on and do the other things.
Mm. How else has that kind of identification of the problem really shone and helped you to solve problem areas in the house, or helped you to come up with solutions that were perhaps different to what you thought they might be?
I'm going to have to think about this. Oh, you should give me the questions before so I could
I didn't think about it. Otherwise, I gave you questions before, didn't I?
Did you?
But oh, I'm not asking any
so of them. Organized.
I'm not, I literally haven't asked one of them right. because that's we all right. of a sudden went down a rabbit
My brain
hole as
work.
We do.
Yeah, of course.
So that's
of course.
Okay.
Like, why would you have had these questions? Anyway, so I guess moving house. So I've moved house like quite a few times in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so going from one place to another place to another place, you're like, all right, where's this thing going to go? Where's that thing going to go? Okay, the tubs that I had that fitted perfectly in this house no longer fit there. So where am I going to put these things, and like how am I going to rejig things? So like we had gone from, you know, like different wardrobes, so we ended up like selling all of the furniture we had and then buying new purpose fit furniture that fitted the spaces that we had. Mm-hmm. And we had like opening wardrobes, and now we've got like sliding mirror wardrobes. So, you know, the chest of drawers that we had like bought purposefully to fit in the wardrobe at one house isn't going to fit because there's like sliding mirror doors. So we like got rid of that and then got like a narrow tall boy. So you can slide the doors across and it's on one side. Yep. And you can open the drawers. And then that's the sort of solution in there. So when we were in Bright for a year and then we moved back, but we sort of came and checked out the house and I measured everything and drew up a floor plan. And like I measured inside all of the cupboards and worked out how high the shelves were, and then went back to my house and was like, right, here's the shelf arrangement. And then I started rearranging, like I taped it off inside the pantry, and yeah, nerdy, right? And then could
very
go, oh, yeah, slow cooker's not going to fit there. I'm going to have to find somewhere else for the slow cooker to go because it's too tall, or whatever it was. Like, I mean, I can't remember specifics, but yeah, that kind of thing of like being able to go in and go, I need a container that is, I can get four of them across and they can be maximum this length or this yeah. width or whatever. And then going into Bunnings or like going online and checking all of the measurements and going, these are the ones, buy five of them.
Yes. And yep. then even if they don't fit into the next place, you use them in a different spot or
yeah.
you repurpose.
Yeah. So I've literally got like underbed rollaway tubs mm-hmm. in a cupboard above the head height at the moment.
Brilliant.
Because that's where they go.
Yeah. And that's where you can utilize the space.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's one of the great things about ADHD is like the confidence to break rules.
Yes.
Of like, well, why should I, like, why would I do it that way? And then, I mean, that's one of the things that we're always asking, we're like, why do we do it this way? Oh, we've always done it that way. Like, well, why did we do it? Why do we always do it that way? And is that still the best way to do it? Or is, you know, have things changed? What's changed? And so, yeah, they say underbed rollers on them. It doesn't have to go under my bed. I can put it where I want.
I've got one in the top of our wardrobe, actually.
You know, like as long as
we have three in the top of our wardrobes.
Yeah. You know, so like I don't care if it says that. I'll just put it, you know, where I want it to go, and being willing to break those rules. So like a game changer for me was I started dot journaling. You know, like bullet journaling.
Yeah.
Which originally I was like, oh, I can't be bothered with like all of that. And then I started looking into it and they were like, oh yeah, you start with a blank page and then you make up a template that works for you. And you have a table of contents and you just put whatever page, you can choose any page you like and put something there, and then you just put it in the table of contents so you can find it later. So there's no like wrong way to do it, right? Yeah. And so when I was setting it up, I forgot to put October, like you do a monthly planner page. I forgot to put October in. So I put October after December, but it's in the table of contents. I know where to go to find it. Like it doesn't worry me that it's actually not in chronological order in the book.
Yeah, I think I would have to throw the whole bullet journal out and start again.
Yeah, yours for me. I was like, yeah, that's fine. I don't need to use October and December at the same time. There's never a time that I actually need, it's not like a novel where I need to read it chronologically, because I've always shied away from, like, you know, monthly planners or diaries. It's like, well, what if I run out of room in October?
Totally, yeah.
And now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And whereas, yeah.
Can I just, like, deep dive on a bullet journal for a minute? Because this is the bit I don't understand about it, and it may just be an
Aiden thing.
So let me just show you. I know everyone else can't see this, but I just use a spiral bound A5 notebook. This
is great podcasting material. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just explain. You know what? Hamish and Andy are forever showing each other things. And I'm like, if they can show each other things on a podcast, by George, I can too.
But so she's held up an A5 spiral bound notebook.
And then I've got Monday. And then I've got all the things I have to do on Monday. But what I love doing is that, like, once I cross it all off, is then I rip that page out, throw it in the bin, and never have to look at it again. Whereas a bullet journal, it kind of stays there, doesn't it? Like, it's almost the history of.
Yeah, but if you, depending on what colours you use, you can use the page again, because, like, if, like, I'll use, like, purple and green or whatever, and then you can write over in black and you can still read it. Or I can colour it in, so I can use the pages for other things. So I use that Amy, like, line through, diagonal line through the page to show that it's done. But then also I have kids who like drawing, so it's like, yeah, you can draw on that page, do whatever you want.
Please don't
draw on, like, the empty pages that I want to use.
Yeah, it's got to have a line through it.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to not bullet journal, because I can't stand the thought of not ripping out all the pages when I'm done, and I'm really glad it works for you. That's exactly right.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. Sorry, that is another thing that I do. Interrupt you.
You know, story of my life.
Sorry, listeners.
Two of us, and, like, the whole ADHD series has basically been me talking over the top of people and then people talking over the top of me. So I don't care.
Okay, great. Cool.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Excellent. Excellent. I mean, people who talk to me just get used to the idea that I will interrupt them and I will tell, like, three different stories at the same time.
Concurrently,
I just have to follow on.
Yeah, yeah. And if you get lost, just hold out 20 minutes, because I'll come back to it later.
That's right.
And what I do want to come back to.
Yes.
I want to come back to what you just said before, which was just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean we have to do it this way. And most people stop there, and it's almost like a writing off of how we've always done it. But what you asked is something I've never heard other people, and it's like, I wonder why we've always done it that way. Like, there was obviously a reason that this started. It may have been a dud reason. It may have just been because everyone else did, or it may have been a reason that actually lots of people put thought into and tried and tested. And this is why we came to that solution. Like, does your brain do that on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now we're, like, super into linkages, and I'm very visual, so I'm all about analogies. So think about like a keyboard that you use on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Those letters are that way because that's how they were set up on typewriters.
Yep.
And the reason that they were set up on typewriters was to slow the typewriters down so that the keys wouldn't stick, right? So it's actually a really inefficient way to do touch typing, because it was designed to make you type slower. And so there is another keyboard, like the Dvorak keyboard, which is much more efficient. But because there's this convention of this is the keyboard we use,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to kind of make that switch. So it's always about that, like, what's the benefit of changing versus, like, what are we going to lose, or what's the cost of mm-hmm. of going through that?
Yeah.
And sometimes that cost benefit, this is still the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the cost benefit of it, it's not the best, but the momentum it would take to try and shift that, or the cultural change, or the family change, or it wouldn't work for the, you know, like, their financial investment is not going to work.
Yeah. Or just, I'm not interested in having to make such a huge change and then have to think about it when I can just touch type with this keyboard and my fingers know what to do.
In my head, I'm, like, going down a little bit of a rabbit hole with touch typing.
This is what I do, yeah.
So I touch type at 100 words a minute with 100% accuracy, or it can be like 110 if the accuracy has to be like between 90 and 95 or something. So like there's an offset, you know.
Okay.
When I've done like typing tests for jobs.
But you know that.
Yeah, well, I've said to them in the past, what are you looking for? Are you looking for speed or accuracy? Yeah. Because I will trade one or the other off. And if it's up to me, I will trade off accuracy for efficiency every time.
Exactly. And I mean, this is the thing about engineering, right? You're always looking for you're always optimizing. Mm. But what are you optimizing for? Are you optimizing for speed? Are you optimizing for quality? Are you optimizing for cost? Are you optimizing for time? Like,
so talk to me about how that works in your home. So when you look at your home and you're like, okay, I want a home that is optimized, what does that look like to you?
So the systems that work well in our house do not necessarily make logical sense to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, speaking of breaking rules, Amy will tell you, have all of your lids attached to all of your Tupperware so that you can just grab it and go, which I now do with my snack containers, and I agree that is convenient, not having to look for lids.
Yep.
But I don't do that with bigger containers because they tessellate. And like having them all made up would take up so much space. So I don't do that. And also, we should keep like with like, but I also don't do that because I keep the snack containers on the bench because that's what I grab for like kids' lunches and things in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I have another space for containers that go into the freezer that are, they're like the Coles ones, the clear with the red lids. And they fit perfectly in the freezer drawer for the height.
Oh, yeah.
So they are the ones that go in my bar freezer, and I put soup or whatever in them. And they live in a different place, so people mm-hmm. don't use them because I want them to be there for when I do like a batch cooking in the slow cooker. So there's like different homes for like the same things, or like, you know, find one container that works for you and put it everywhere throughout your house except. So we've got mostly clear. Because I'm visual, and we've realized that if I need to see inside the container to see what's mm-hmm. there, except we also have an opaque container for like presents that we might be giving to people because otherwise the kids can see inside. And so, yeah, like we just know things about if we buy, you know, meats and things from the deli, they have to come out of the brown package.
Mm-hmm.
And go in a clear container because otherwise we would just like
don't get eaten.
Skate past that thing and not see it.
Yeah.
Even though like clearly it's there, it's obviously there, and yet just won't even notice it. And I have not at all answered your question, have I?
No, you have. You totally have. Because that optimization looks like different things. So yes, it might take a little bit of work to remember that the freezer containers are separate to the snack containers, which are separate to other containers, but the optimization is ease of access and having the right things.
Yeah, so it's access. It's about minimizing the volume for mm-hmm. the big ones, but I care less about the volume of the small ones because they're small and, you know, I rotate through them, so half of them in the dishwasher anyway. And yeah, so I guess it's thinking in different terms. And, you know, I was talking with my kids about like, what does best mean to you? Like, is first best, or is finished best, or is, you know, fastest? Like, what does best mean? And that's that question around optimizing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Listeners, we just had to restart the recording over the ad break. So if we've come back and our sound is completely different, because now we're freaking out that it's not picking up the right microphone. So if that's the case, please just show us grace and your ears will adjust within about 15 seconds and you won't remember what it sounded like before. And if it doesn't, you can just ignore this little PSA. So Sylvia, you said just before the break, what does winning look like to you, or what does success look like?
What does the best look like? So like, take the example of meal planning. So for a weeknight meal for our family, you must be able to cook it within 20 minutes.
Great.
That means cooking like packet rice.
Mm-hmm.
So 20-year-old Sylvia is going, what are you doing cooking packet rice? Like, cook it properly. Right. So we're making a compromise on the quality, or the, you know, how well cooked it is, or how flavorsome, or whatever, because it's got to be turned around in 20 minutes.
Because it's a 30-second in the microwave.
Right. So it's got to be done in 20 minutes. So for us, best is cooked and on the table within 20 minutes, because mm-hmm. that's the time we have available. On the weekends, I can do slow cooking and I can make a soup that will cook for 8 hours and be really delicious. But then I'll freeze it and it comes back into that ready in 20 minutes. I can reheat the soup and cook toast or whatever, grilled cheese on toast. That can be turned around in 20 minutes. But I can't do a big, long, nice, fancy cook, on a weeknight, because mm-hmm. that just will not work.
So that's what best looks like, is during the week you're prioritizing time and efficiency and productivity over slow and enjoyment and, you know, flavor. Different flavors and that type of thing. Yeah.
You know, whereas pre-children Sylvia used to love cooking and would cook really delicious meals, like new recipes.
Wow.
Foods I've never cooked before. Now it's all about like same thing week in, week out. I can do it without a recipe. I can do it with my eyes closed. Mm-hmm. Just bang, 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 out in 20 minutes. I'm really hoping that one day I'll get back to like cooking nicely.
Yeah, or even that you have the freedom to do it on a Saturday. Like, you make the effort, you go to the market, you get your ingredients, you come home, you've got like time set aside for it, because that's what a best Saturday looks like.
Yeah, or, you know, time for baking. So if we've had a really hectic week and there's like behind with dishes and things, I don't bake.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love that I'm not baking, but I have come to accept that's not a baking day.
Yeah.
If we're on top of things, everything's down, I come into the kitchen, it's like ready for action. All right, let's bake something.
That's great. So best in that situation sounds like, how am I not adding to the workflow, but actually being able to do something enjoyable that's got benefits because we're all going to enjoy it without it then becoming an additional stress. Is that right?
Yes. So I'm kind of learning about spoon theory. Quick recap for people aren't familiar. Spoon theory is about saying that every day you open your drawer of spoons, and a spoon is your energy to do things. And some days there are lots of spoons and some days there are not as many. And so it's really important to evaluate how many spoons have I got? How much energy do I need to expend? Mm-hmm. So at work, I take the lift up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I could physically walk up and down the stairs, but I know when I get home, I need to be able to walk up and down the stairs to get the kids to bed. So mm-hmm. I can't expend those spoons at work because I need them for later in the day. So it's about, so I'm optimizing for spoons now.
That's great.
As opposed to getting everything done, which I find really hard.
Yes, and getting everything done and the shoulds. Like, well, I should take the stairs, or I should make my own lunch every day. Like, I don't make my lunch ever when I go and see a client. As you would know, I get the same chicken on Helga's bread and lettuce sandwich every single time I see a client.
And a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke every single time, right? But yep. I never, ever, ever buy lunch on an office day. Never. I barely eat lunch on an office day because I forget. But, you know, like I'm optimizing for different things. I'm optimizing for, I don't want to have to make a decision. It's not that I don't like other things. It's not that I don't want to try a different sandwich. It's that on the way to work, I don't want extra decisions to make.
Well, and it's also when you go into different people's houses, you don't want to have to say, can I use your microwave and not know whether they have one or like.
Yep. I don't want to have to buy a spoon. You're kind of
optimizing for minimizing preparation time when you get there too. You're not going to turn up with a frozen soup and go, oh, yeah, I need a cutlery, but you don't have any or, you know.
Yeah.
Like when and you turn up at work, I bring my.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bring my own fork to work because there's never any forks by the time I eat lunch.
Do you always remember to bring it home?
Yes, because it stays with the container. But sometimes we get like forks from, like we'll get forks out of the dish and go, I think those are from like someone's work. Let's take those back.
We do the same when Cal is in the office. I'm like, I don't think that spoon's ours, babe.
Yeah.
Send that back to work. The other thing, not that it's relevant now because I feel like we've totally moved on from the conversation, but the other thing that I like with the sandwich is it's optimized for eating on the go. So yes. I don't have to stop and sit, which in some situations I can do when I've got the opportunity to sit and have, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to eat my sandwich. But if I need to, I can scoff that thing in about 45 seconds and I can do it without actually having to touch the sandwich if I'm in a home that's hygienically not, I don't want to go straight from decluttering to touching a sandwich. Okay, let's move on from my sandwich issues. Tell me another area. I want to know what does best look like. What does best look like before the cleaner comes for you guys? We're talking about that off air. So I'm picking a prickly one.
Oh, mate. So this is going to make everyone feel great. So the cleaner comes. We've moved from fortnightly cleaner to weekly cleaner, A, because that's all we could get because it's really hard to get cleaners, but B, because it reduces the time that clutter can build up between the cleans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less to do each time, if that makes sense.
That's really smart.
Because it would be lovely to think that the cleaner could just rock up and clean, but that is not the household that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try very hard to, as a family, do a bit of a tidy before they come. Generally, the amount of tidying required just to make the floors and surfaces available is more than the capacity of everyone at the time. So often it's me like running around. It's literally my cardio, like running around, getting everything off the floor. So there will be like things on our bed, laundry hampers on our bed, things on the kids' beds, boxes of just stuff on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, you come home and go, oh, it's so clean and wonderful. Now I've got to take all these things off the couch so I can sit down on the couch.
So best in that situation is easy access for the cleaner rather than spending time that you don't necessarily have, making sure that every little piece of every little thing is put away in its home. So best is I want the cleaner to come in, be able to do the cleaning, and I still want to get to work on time and I want the kids to get to school and I don't want us all to walk out the door screaming at each other once a week. Is that a fair? I'm not saying that's how it always works. You know,
life goals, walking out, not screaming at each other.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I'm like clarifying, like I am a parent, get how this works. But that's what best looks like, even if we don't always achieve best.
Yeah. And so, you know, ideally at the end of that day, I would come back and look at what's in the boxes and put them away. And realistically, at the end of the day, when I'm out of spoons, the boxes get shoved off the couch so I can sit on the couch and they're on the floor waiting for next week.
But the stuff's all in the box.
Right. And
theoretically.
And, you know, people with ADHD are really good at hunting things out. So if there's something in them that I need, I will find it. May not get everything else away, but I will find what I need and I'll probably know where it is. Yeah, so it's like, it's not great, but it's, you know, little wins. One of the things that I struggle with, which was really interesting because my partner is the opposite to me. So he looks at things of like, oh, look how much we've done. And I will look at it and go, well, we've done 10% of what needs to be done. That's not good enough. We've got to do the other 90% now. And he was like, look at all the stuff they did. And so for me, I measure things like, okay, this is what needs to happen. You know, go, 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 get it done. And so I will have enough energy to do maybe 50% of it. And then I'll get halfway through and go, oh, I have to stop now. Or I would just keep going until my body literally makes me stop.
Yeah, when you've actually really borrowed spoons from tomorrow, which is not a great idea.
So, and get 50% through and, like, you know what it's like when you're decluttering, it, like, gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then if you stop in that zone.
That's a really tricky space to stop.
It's really bad because then it ends up being worse when you get back to it because things get mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I try and do like the micro declutter and I coined the nano declutter, which is one thing.
Yeah, I've been talking about that a little bit more.
Cannot fail.
Yeah.
Success, doing the whole thing is one thing. Get one thing, put it in its home, success. So I can't fail at that.
Yeah. The episode hasn't dropped yet, but I was talking to another one of our guests about the nano declutter that you've introduced me to, because I think there's like, I'm actually developing I'm trying to pick how much to let everyone in on the secret. I'm developing a product / system at the moment that embraces the micro declutter and the nano declutter. So
intriguing.
Just keep your eyes peeled. It'll hopefully be out in the next probably 5 or 6 months. It's a big project, but I'm really excited about it.
Very good. Yeah. So for me, like, you might say, oh, well, I might do 30 nano declutters in a day where I've decluttered one thing. But if you said to me, all right, go put those 30 things away at once, can't do that. Like, I just physically cannot do it.
Yeah.
And even today I had a body double and I was like, right, I'm so sick of these boxes. We're just going to like sort them and put them away properly. And like, that was quite physically demanding for me. And I felt so good at the end. I'm like, yes, we're like, there was still one box that didn't quite get to, but we've stacked another box of toys on top. So hopefully it won't get disturbed, but it feels really good. And then I was like sitting on the couch and my husband walked in like, this looks great. You've wrecked yourself doing it, haven't you? I'm like,
aww.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where the body double can be really helpful. Because you can, if you've got someone that you can kind of delegate the work that's harder for you. So for some people, it's the decision making that's harder. For some people, it's the knowing where to start. For some people, it's the physical labor. For some people, the physical labor is fine, but they can't bend. Like, there's always going to be limitations. So how do you actually, what does best look like in using the resources you have, and then outsourcing for resources that are more difficult or more challenging?
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, when I first got you, you kind of did the thinking and the doing, whereas now I feel more comfortable like, oh, this is exactly what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, can you please go and do it because I can't do it.
Yeah. But I think now the solution's better than when I suggested them, because you're living in the space, you understand the space, you know yourself. And so because you've got those foundations, you're actually making wiser choices. And so if I came now, I'd probably be more of a body double and a sounding board rather than coming in and kind of, you know, like sometimes you need a decluttering expert to come in and be the expert and kind of say, can you kind of direct? Whereas I feel like once clients develop that foundation and they develop their own tools, there's less of that direction and more of that coaching. Like, it's a really cool transition, and that's what it should be.
Yeah, although then I'm sitting there going, well, why am I getting Amy in? Because I know what I need to do. I should just get on and do it myself.
That's ADHD, isn't
like
it?
Classic, right?
It's ADHD, like the
shoulds.
Yeah, the shoulds and the in a, like, let's talk about that for a minute, because you were saying before we hit record, you know, an hour ago or whatever that was, you was wanted to talk about something. What was the screenshot that you took that had to do with kind of that lazy label that we get given? And do you want to talk to that?
Okay. Well, a lot of people are very apprehensive about getting a diagnosis because they say, oh, I don't want to have a label. And my response to that is you already have the label. It's just not that word. It's something else. And so for me, it was like, well, the label was lazy or messy or disorganized, right? But then working as an engineer, we focus on efficiency. And lazy and efficiency are the same thing, but the difference is like a moral judgment, right?
Oh, so, say that again. I'm doing a Brené Brown.
I can't remember what I said.
Lazy and efficiency are effectively the same thing with just a different label. Is that a
recollection? So in engineering, I want to do the same thing for less cost, less time, less, you know, less people, less resources. That's what lazy is, right? I'm doing the job quicker. I'm, you know, compromising on quality because I need to do it quickly, or I'm not doing it because I don't have the energy. I'm, you know, it's making a decision to defer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my thing of like, I'm not going to fill a sink with water to wash one dish. I might as well wait till there's four dishes or five dishes to, you know, economies of scale of using the dish, the thing of water for more dishes makes more sense to me. Except if I leave it too long and there's like three sink loads and I probably should have done them already, right? but when you use the word lazy, there's a judgment there about an expectation that you should have done it. Mm-hmm. But when it's efficient, it's like, oh, well, it's something that we think is really good, that you've economized, you've saved time or you've saved money. It's like, well, that, you know, someone with ADHD is economizing.
Mm.
You know, you're saying, I don't have spoons now. I, you know, need the spoons for later. You're economizing the spoons in your, or, you know, all this stuff's going on in your head to work all of this out. But then the lazy label comes, right?
You've just blown my mind. Like, you've actually blown my mind. So if I was to think about the, one of the biggest compliments someone could give me about, let's say like my work ethic. Let's not go character, because I think character sits outside of a lot of that. But if you were to give me like the greatest compliment, it would probably be efficient. And if you were to give me the worst downgrading, downputting, make me spiral into shame, it would be lazy. So what you've just said is those two things actually can look the same.
All about a value judgment.
It's about the value judgment. And oh my gosh, Sylvie.
Yeah. And so I, you know, I used to feel really bad about having a messy house. And now I say, well, you know, it's a reflection of my values that I would rather spend time with my kids than tidying the house. Or I would rather save my energy for having fun with my family than spend all of my energy tidying and then not have energy to do anything else that I want to do.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. ADHDers, I want you to, like, if you're thinking of getting a tattoo in 2023, I want it to be, I am efficient, I am not lazy.
Yeah.
I want that tattoo because, like, for instance, when we, my dad retired and we spoke to him about coming on board as our family chef, quite a few people said to me, that's just lazy. And I was like, are you kidding? It's efficient. It's so efficient. Like, he's using his time. We're using our time.
Probably enjoys it.
He does enjoy it. Like he said to me today, like, I really enjoy it. Sometimes my back hurts because I stand up for so long in the kitchen, but I spend a couple of hours in the garden each morning. I play a round of golf and I know that I'm cooking for you guys. And it's so efficient for us because I would much prefer to be recording a podcast episode, playing chess with my kids, doing something between like 5 and 7. And so it's efficient, not lazy.
Right. And you don't like cooking.
I hate cooking.
Exactly.
So I'm not bad at it. Well, I'm not great at it, but I would nutritiously feed my family. I wouldn't ever go and do 20-year-old Sylvia beautiful dinners, but I just think that tattoos people.
Yeah.
Tattoos, efficiency, efficient, not lazy.
Yeah, and I think too, it's like, I think as when you're younger, it's like, oh, you want to try and do everything and increase your skills at everything, and it's like that weakness thing, oh, you're not very good at cooking, so you should cook more to, you know. And then I think as we get older, it's like, you know what, we can embrace the fact that you don't even enjoy cooking and I don't enjoy laundry or whatever. Embrace the fact that we don't have to do everything and we can outsource, and seeing that outsourcing, like in your case, your dad loves doing that. In my case, having a clean every week, I'm giving someone a job.
Correct.
Who wouldn't have had that job.
Ditto.
I don't feel bad. And I'm at a point now, We've always had a cleaner as long as we've been married. But the rule was, as long as we're above a 1.6 time fraction, we have a cleaner because we don't have time.
I love that.
Zero regrets. But now I'm at a point where I physically can't do it, so we have to have a cleaner.
I was talking about your tipping point of cleaner versus non-cleaner with Cal today, because he's about to go back into full-time work next month, and it's been probably 4 years since he was full-time. He's usually about 0.8 or 0.9. And so he does all the cleaning. So this morning he'd spent 2 hours like doing like the really good deep clean in the bathrooms, like 2 hours in the bathrooms. And when he came out, I was almost panicked because I was like, babe, we're both going to be working full time next month. We need to think about a cleaner, because like all of a sudden we've gone over this tipping point. And I was like, Sylvia and Ewan, because it makes sense. And you go, that's the tipping point. That's when best kicks in, best changes.
Yeah, and I think that's also like, you know, I guess the other saying, if I was going to get a tattoo, it's like, I am doing the best I can with the resources I can, with the resources I have available to me right now.
That's going to have to be like a full back tattoo, because that's pretty long.
I know, but that's what I say to myself all the time.
I'll get mine if you get yours.
You know.
I'm not even joking.
So one of the other fun things that I'm discovering about myself is that I feel pain a lot more strongly than other people. I will not be getting a tattoo.
Oh, I desperately want one.
I'm just not doing it. I get the nose piercing. I'm not doing.
All right.
Anyway, digression. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, when I was on maternity leave, we didn't have a cleaner because we didn't have the money for a cleaner.
Yeah.
Like, the house is not very clean.
Yeah.
I spent my time looking after babies and cleaning nappies and doing laundry. I actually didn't have time to clean or energy to clean. The house was not very clean because we just couldn't afford a cleaner.
Yeah.
But then, all right, we can afford a cleaner. Let's get a cleaner.
Yeah.
So it's not at all any kind of judgment for if people can't get a cleaner. You have to. But, yeah, for us it's like just that prioritising of, like, what are the things that we're going to outsource?
Yeah.
And, you know, full disclosure, I have a wonderful, wonderful mother-in-law who enjoys doing laundry, and she has been helping us out with laundry.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know.
That's brilliant.
Like, zero regrets. She's wonderful. I'm so grateful to have her in our village. But, yeah.
And I think best also then, and I just – want to share this quick story that happened about 2 hours ago around my dinner table. So as listeners, you probably know, my boys are now 15 and 16, and they do a lot of household responsibilities because they're well capable. And tonight I heard them negotiating that. So at the moment, one sets the dinner table, one clears the dinner table, one puts all the washing on and gets it dried, and the other sorts it and takes it to the person's bedroom. They then negotiated saying, I actually prefer all the laundry, and I then don't lose track of where the process is at. And you seem to be pretty good at doing the table. Do you want to do all of the dinner stuff and I'll do all of the washing stuff? And it was like two little housemates negotiating. Like, Calvin and I didn't have anything to do with it, but I was sitting there with such joy. And they're like, is that okay, Mum? And I was like, absolutely. I think this is brilliant. Like, you're showing initiative, you're understanding yourselves. Like, I'm just, this is it. Like, this is what it. This is when you're bringing your kids up to understand this stuff, is you don't then have teenagers who are always entitled. Doesn't mean they're perfect. My gosh, doesn't mean any of us are perfect, but those foundations are good.
Yes. Well, pat on the back for you, Amy. Like,
pat on 15
there for years
them.
Of saying it over and over and over again, something has sunk in.
Yeah.
I keep having to say that, like, I just, if I say it enough times, it's going to sink in.
At different personalities, different people, different combinations. There's no one one way fits all. Listeners, I have got so much out of this episode, so I have no doubt that you have. I've actually, I don't know if you noticed, but I was taking notes. And even though I'm going to listen to this again for the final edit, I've taken notes for myself because there's been so many moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's such a good way of thinking of it. Or let's go deeper. Like let's ask more questions than, let's go further than I should be in a decluttered house. Like actually, what's the priority? What does best look like? What is the problem here? Is the problem that there's too much stuff, or is it just that the flow's not working, or we don't have the right solution, or the timetable doesn't work, or the person responsible for it? Like, I think if you're taking away things I want you to take away, what does problem solving look like when you actually understand the problem and you create a solution that works for you and your family? Anything else, Sylvia, that you want to add?
Well, I've just consulted my list of notes so that I would remember things because my memory is terrible. And one of the things I want to talk about is we're planning a renovation and trying to plant the design, have it around my ADHD and have things set up in a way that will work for me. So things like laundry hamper is going to be in the bathroom. It's going to have its own little space under the bench, but it's not going to have a drawer in front of it to hide it away because then we won't see it and we won't use
everything
it.
Will end up on the floor. Yeah.
That's right. So the laundry hamper has to be visible. We're designing a walk-in pantry with no door. Great. So everything is visible.
Yeah.
And just lots of little things like that, like understanding how my brain works and the best way to set things up so that I will remember where things go, not have to have like a million Dymo labels everywhere telling me what things are, and thinking through the flow of like where things go, where will we take things off, where will we store things, how will like, where will, you know, all those different bits and pieces go. Kettle near tea, near spoons, near the fridge to get the milk so that you're not like turning away and getting distracted by something.
Yeah.
That you've got it all within reach and you don't have to walk away and then go, what was I coming here for again?
I think that like I've really enjoyed being part of your plan stage because I like house plans is my love language. And so whenever you text them through to me, I often save it for the end of the day because it's like my treat at the end of the day is I get to open up your renewed house plans and like have a look through them. And I'm like enlarging this and I'm thinking about that. And I often write notes and I think I've sent notes to you, haven't I?
Yeah.
Because that stuff makes a really big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and if it's not done well, it can make life really difficult.
Mm.
Like the house that we have, which we're going to renovate, there's like a 2 or 3 centimeter gap between the shower glass and the vanity. So things can drop down in between there.
But you can't store anything there.
It's quite tricky to get them, but you can't get them out.
Yeah, stupid. Doing
we don't use that word in our household, but yes.
Yeah, poor design. Illogical. One of the things I do love doing, and I haven't actually done one in a couple of months, is doing a house plan review with people. So I don't even know if people know that's something that the Art of Decluttering offers, but it's not just me that does them. But people will book an hour and basically I'll just like ask a whole lot of questions. There was one lady recently that she'd hired an architect who had designed like this work from home space in between the walk-in pantry and the kitchen. I was like, that is going to become the biggest dumping zone you've ever had. She's like, no, there's PowerPoints.
It won't be nice to work
and
there.
Stools are going underneath. And I'm like, it's not. That's what we're going to do, like the family admin. I said, it's not. You're going to do the family admin at the bench or at the table or on the couch. You're not going to do it there. You're in between the pantry and the kitchen, but we don't know where else to put it. I was like, don't have it then because that that's an illogical space. It's just going to be where you end up putting excess and bits and pieces. But anyway, sidetracked.
Or even just things that like work for other people. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. So the original plan, I think it had a laundry that would with a door out to the east side. And I was like, well, you're not going to put laundry out there. It's not going to get dry. You actually need the laundry. Like, and it was a huge walk around to get outside to hang the laundry out. I was like, let's move that. So then you'd like the laundry, you walk straight out the door to the clothesline on the west side, which will get
so
the sun.
You know, you can like come and join those. Carly and I when we like are old ladies and we're going to run like problem solving businesses where people call up and like just with random problems. And our job is just to like ask a lot of really good questions and then kind of coach through a whole lot of different answers and then like check back in a week. So you can,
I love
I'm recruiting
stuff.
You. Yeah. I reckon it'd be super fun. That. Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's just been such a good episode. This series is filling my cup. Thank you so much, Sylvie, for making time, sharing your endless wisdom.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's been fun. Listeners, I will see you next week. And until then, enjoy the freedom.
I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people who are the traditional custodians of the land this podcast is recorded on. I would also like to pay respects to their elders, both past and present, of the Kulin Nation, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love you to rate and review the show on your podcast app. That will help others to find the Art of Decluttering podcast as well. If you'd like any more information, you can visit theartofdecluttering.com.au. And I would love to see you in my Facebook group. Just search the Art of Decluttering community on Facebook and join today. I hope that you have an incredible rest of your day and enjoy the freedom.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.